Our scripture lesson is taken from the book of
Romans.
Hey! Chapter 14. It's all about, you know, there's some things in the Christian life that we know for certain that are central. Some things we know. And there's kind of a continuity of certainty. Things we know that there's a bridge that crosses the Piscataqua River. Anybody know that? You've been over the bridge, so you know it. Some things we know, some things we don't, and some things we, you know, there's not everything certain, not everything's up in the air, and Chapter 14 is talking about, what about the things that are up in the air? How do we get along with each other? Chapter 14, except the one who is weak, whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone. None of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I'm convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us, therefore, make every effort to do what leads to peace and a mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating does not come from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. There's so much that is just so helpful in this scripture that probably next year I should spend the whole winter preaching just chapter 14. No, I wouldn't do that to you. When I was just about 11 or 12, just hitting puberty, so I was kind of in a crazy state of mind. I saw a genealogy for my, I have a part of my family are called the Andrewses, the Andrews family genealogy. And I saw that my grandfather Gus, great-grandfather Gus, he had a brother whom, of course, died before I ever was born, named Izzy, lived, I think, in Eastport, Maine, Israel Andrews. And his father was Israel Andrews. And his father was Israel Andrews, and his father was Israel Andrews. And I had a great and desperate sinking feeling. I thought, all of those Israel Andrewses, they lived and they died, and here I don't know one blessed thing about them. And I was in a state, because of puberty, you know, I was feeling estranged from the Lord because I was having thoughts I'd never had before and couldn't stop having those thoughts, and I thought God couldn't love me. And I was having some exploration of hedonism, you know, living for fun, and I thought, well, at least if I'm laughing, I'm having fun. So I found that through experimentation that you can be laughing and laughing and laughing and having no fun at all. I don't know if it, have any of you felt that feeling? That was my life, 11, 12, 13, 14, that was my life, laughing and unhappy. And when I added Uncle Izzy in there and all those Israel Andrews, I went from hedonism, trying to have fun, to nihilism. And I said, there's just no purpose, I thought. Nobody's going to know my name, I thought. I'd just be a name in a book. Until I got right with the Lord. Bruce talked about praying for camp. I was at Big Lake Campground, and I found out that the Lord loved pubescent boys. That's amazing, isn't it? He loved me anyway. He loved me anyway. And I experienced for a little time, 11, 12, 13, 14, I experienced for a little time a life without meaning. And one of the very deepest, wonderful, most precious things to me about walking with Christ is to have meaning in everything we do. Whether we live for the Lord. Whether we die for the Lord. So even our death, probably mostly because our death has meaning in Christ Jesus, because we know death is not the end, that we have the chance to find purpose and worship in everything we do. That is most of, I'm going to want to talk most about that in the chapter. Now, we've been going through Romans, and it's grace, 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 more grace. And if you didn't know what was next, it was grace. And after that was grace. And last week was law. Remember? Obey the governments and be good to your neighbors. But now we're back to grace. And this chapter is talking about you'd have to have grace because there's debatable issues like iPhone or Android. Shall we take a vote? All sorts of debatable issues. In their church, they had, you know, at least two cultures. The Jews and the Gentiles were in the church, so they were fighting about food. And it's very, very important not to fight about food or drink or those kind of things. But we can find all sorts of things to fight about. And the church in Australia said that owning a van was sin. Because there was a time in Australia when young fellows bought vans and threw mattresses in the back and went up and down the beaches looking to pick up women. So the church had this statement, you know, it wasn't written in any bylaws, but you couldn't, if you owned a van, that was sinful. And we get all sorts of stuff like that. Like there's a debate in the ongoing in the church, is drinking wrong? And I grew up in a house of teetotalers, and I understood from studying the Bible that Jesus made wine, and it was good wine, and apparently it was the kind of wine that could get you drunk, and Jesus made it. And I came to understand what the Bible teaches is that drinking's not wrong, it's getting drunk that's the problem. But I still can't drink. I can't, because I would feel guilty. And whatever's not, I love this thing. I love the teaching here too. Whatever's not of faith is sin. So I don't feel like I have to learn to drink in order to fix me somehow. I'm broken in lots of other ways that need more fixing than that. But there's debate within the body of Christ, and we have to have grace for each other and be fully convinced in our own mind on all sorts of debatable issues. That's the big call. But that's not the central thing that I want to look at. Though, by the grace of God, there have been wonderful examples of people of diverse cultures that are getting along in Christ Jesus. You see, you go on the Facebook and you look at church services that are in college campuses, and you see red and yellow, black and white, everybody praising the Lord together. You ever see those things? So actively, the body of Christ in the United States, there are many, many examples. Now, we live in a state that's mostly white. I don't think we need to feel guilty about being what we are, because this is our community. But there are many, many examples of people who they kind of put up with each other in order to advance the kingdom of God, and even have a sense of the body of Christ, like I've talked about before in Burundi, where you've got Hutus and Tutsis and Pygmies all in the same worship time, in the same conference, all encouraging and helping each other along. These tribes that have been from time out of mind mortal enemies. It's the kingdom of God. But what I really want to look at is this idea, two things I want to look at from this out of this chapter, and that is this idea that whatever is of doubt is sin, and whatever you can do in good faith is great. So, you know, it's not saying if you feel like you're committing murder would be good. It's debate on debatable issues. There's biblical freedom. Now, I've had young people, and as a pastor, I've had young people come to me and say to me, should I take this job or should I take that job? And what they really would like is for me to have, like in the Old Testament, the priest had a Urim and Thummim, and they put it in their holy apron. And the best I can understand about Urim and Thummim, it would be like having two coins. And on one side of the coin it says yes, on the other side of the coin it says no. Kind of like a magic eight ball, right? So you say, King David would say, should I go to battle? And the priest would cast the lot. And if it said yes, yes, then that meant the Lord saying yes, go to battle. If it said no, no, and then that meant, no, don't go to battle. If it said yes, no, it said, Lord's not talking to you. So that's what it feels like sometimes when people come to me, should I take this job or should I take that job? They think, holy guy will know. And I think the biblical teaching is biblical freedom. That so long as you get to use your gifts and you're not breaking any biblical laws, you're free to do. What job would you like to take? And so I think that there's, so long as you can do something in good faith, you can go ahead and do it. And I think that's a very helpful thing. I've known people that felt like they had to have the Lord tell them everything. Like, I put on one sock, Lord, but do you really want me to put on the other sock? And I never had that kind of Lord speaking in my ear thing. I thought, like when it came to getting married, I got engaged to Noelle. She was 17. And I was 19. And I went back to school. And my friends at Wheaton, they said, did the Lord tell you to do that? Yeah. I said, yes. The Lord said, it's better to marry than to burn. That's right in the scripture. That's how I know. It's in the Bible, so I figured it out. Okay? So long as what we want to do is not against Scripture and we're at peace between us and the Lord, feel free and do it. That's not one thing I want to say. Be at peace in your life. Serve the Lord, serve each other, and if you've got a doubt about something, you think, maybe I ought not to buy this 9th rifle. I don't know if I really need it. Boy, it would really round up my collection. You know, if you're doubt about that, if you don't have any problem with that, and you're taking care of your other needs, and I mean, some people collect blue glassware, so, you know, be at peace and be free. But if you've got doubts about it, then the scripture is saying, you know, what we want to live is the life of faith. And this is what I really want to park on for the rest of the message is this. I love this. If we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. Because it's talking so much more about more than just is something right or wrong. It's talking about a way to live that's just beautiful. If you live for the Lord. What he's describing is people that are eating just vegetables, are eating and giving glory to God for the vegetables. And people that are eating meat, they're eating their meal of meat and their hearts are thankful for the meal that they have. And that is, I think, the call. Our lives are not just a struggle against sin. That's what I want to say. Okay, our life is about, like someone told me, this lady told me she was in a grocery store and she saw the most beautiful child she ever saw, a little girl. And that little girl looked at her and smiled at her and said, "Hi." And she said, "Thank you, God." That's what life is supposed to be like. We're supposed to see something wonderful, something beautiful, and say, "Thank you, God." Or like my Sunday afternoon nap. This is my target. I don't always get it, you know. Sometimes I wake up in the flesh and I'm a grouch, and I'm not in the spirit, and I'm not. But this is my target, to lay down and to snuggle into the covers and put that thing over my eyes, and not to say, if I was really good, I'd be praying. Or if I was really good, I'd be taking out the garbage. Or I want to get snuggled down in the blankets and say, the Lord commanded me to rest. Thank you, Lord. Do you ever just thank the Lord in a nap? That's what we're supposed to be like. And when you wake up, you thank the Lord when you wake up. So you thank the Lord when you have apple crisp and you haven't had it for a long time. You know, you can't eat too much apple crisp and still be thankful. Because after a while, the guilt starts coming in, right? When you don't feel good anymore, that's a signal from God. But when you eat that apple crisp and you think, wow, Lord, apples. And wow, Lord, cinnamon. And wow, Lord, brown sugar. And that butter, look, you can see it pooling right in there. When we eat, we give thanks to the Lord. Whatever we do, we live for the Lord. And when we say no, when I say no to myself, all my life I ate in front of the TV at night. When I was a kid, that's what my father did. If there was, we happened to be out of ice cream, we'd look in there and we'd say, look in the fridge. My mother made cold vinegar pickles. I don't know if you've ever had really sour pickles. Yeah. If there was nothing else to eat, you'd eat a sour pickle right in front of the fridge. I've got up and looked in the fridge when I was a kid. And have you ever had salt herring? Nothing else in there to eat in front of the fridge. I had to eat something. I ate salt herring, dried salt herring in front of the fridge. And so when I get in front of the fridge, I've been freed by Romans 6. I'm no longer a slave to sin. So when I am, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, when I'm able to say no to a bowl of ice cream, I say, thank you, Jesus. Because that's not me. So when I don't eat, I do that for the glory of God. Right? Somebody, some little child gives me a coloring thing they made in junior church. It's got a big heart on it. This was Mason's sister. Jillian gave me a thing on there. When the children love you, and it feels like the kingdom of God. So when we live to the Lord. And we know that when we die to the Lord. And we're not all spooked about it. You know, I kept thinking about our friend James. He doesn't seem too worried about it. Did you, any of you see him as he's been getting sicker and sicker? I think he was at peace about dying. And I think that's supposed to bring us peace. And that's supposed to be something that give us a lesson about our lives. That we don't live in fear, because if you're not afraid of dying, there's not too much else to be afraid of, really. I know there's you get afraid that you'll have your shirt tucked in your underwear, and that's really embarrassing. But it's not really that bad, you know. It's not. The consequences aren't too bad. We fear all sorts of weird stuff that we don't need to fear. The Lord has given us a good life. And that's what I love about this chapter. Frank Jewett, I was pastoring down in Portsmouth. And Frank Jewett and Harold Patterson made an appointment to come see me. So they were there in the office, and Harold said, he was the director of missions. He said, Russell, Frank and I have come to talk to you about something. Frank used to be the director of missions for Africa and Europe. Harold said, Hal Patterson said, I want to ask you to do something, but I want you to know that it's not safe what I'm going to ask you to do. And I know I'm asking you to do something that's not safe. And this verse came right to my mind. And I said, Harold, if we live to the Lord. If we die for the Lord. Whether we live or we die, we're the Lord's. He said, I want to ask you to serve as Africa European Area Director. Because the travel thing is, you know, that's what he's saying. It's not safe to travel in Africa. And I traveled all over Africa. And here I am. I made it back. The Lord looked out for me. But I can remember one time I got in a bus in Beria in Mozambique. And we drove all day and all night. And at midnight, we were still driving. That bus was filled with African pastors. And they were singing whatever choruses they had to sing. They sang them so much, I almost could sing them in another language. And in the middle of the night, we got pulled over in the middle of nowhere. And we all got out, and there was a police officer there. And they were going to try to extort money from our van because the white guy's there. And I was outside, and about a quarter of a mile off the road, this is about midnight, but there's a village, and the drums are going so loud, gung, 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 that I felt like I was on another planet. And I got back. After a while, the conference president herded me back into the van, and everybody piled in, and he said to me, "When the man speaks to you, say bom dias, which is hello in Portuguese." And I didn't know what he was saying. And I got in there, and the police officer came up to me, and he said, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what he said. And all I could think of was how to say hello in Chichiwe. So I said, Mulibwanji, like I was one of the natives. And all of the pastors in that van, they laughed like hyenas. And the police officer, who was trying to be all stern, and he laughed like a hyena too. And he waved us on. So the Lord looked out for me, even though I was an idiot. The Lord looked out for me. And I'm not going to go to my time. You're not going to go till your time. In the meantime, enjoy your naps. Enjoy your apple crisp. And whatever else you eat, don't overdo, you know. Too much of anything is too much. But we're called upon to live a life of worship. That's what I want to say from Romans 14. And we're called not to sweat about it if somebody else enjoys something different than we do, so long as it's, you know, as long as it's not destructive, we'll be at peace with ourselves and at peace with each other. Let's bow together in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for these friends, and thank you for the fellowship that we have. And we ask your blessing on our people. May they experience your presence and power and the Holy Spirit in everything that they do. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.